Wealth Management Group of North America provides their clients with all-inclusive wealth management using a 360-degree approach to financial planning. Wealth Management Group of North America gives its clients unbiased strategic wealth planning and asset management from an independent, cohesive team of professionals. Wealth Management Group of North America clients are able to receive assistance from CPAs, lawyers, bankers, insurance specialists, and money managers, all with just one membership. With a monthly membership, you will receive assistance during all three stages of your life, from the saving it through the spending it to the transferring it phase. They've been doing it for more than 20 years. Daniel J. Friedman co-founded Wealth Management Group of North America, LLC, with Brian P. Beck in 1995. Today, Daniel serves as CEO of the firm. His financial blog, Don't Know, Don't Care, has been featured on NerdWallet's Advisor Voices and has been nationally syndicated by over a dozen different media clients. Wealth Management Group of North America, 10 Talcott Notch Road, Farmington.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Ask the Experts. I'm Brian Forster, and each week here on the Talk of Connecticut, I'll have an in-depth conversation with a different member of the Greater Hartford community. And today, my guest is Dan Friedman, the CEO of WMGNA. That's the Wealth Management Group of North America. Dan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Brian. Great to be here.
Just as an introduction, why don't you tell us a little bit about WMGNA and how it relates to taxes?
Sure. Excellent. WMGNA is an all-inclusive financial and tax advisory company. We're headquartered in Farmington, Connecticut. We have an office in sunny Boca Raton, Florida as well. WMGNA was set up 22 years ago as a membership-based service that includes your taxes done in your monthly membership. The premise is that your taxes affect everything you do, and everything you do affects your taxes. The only thing folks have to do as it relates to their money is file a tax return. There's no obligation to save money. You should do all these things and put money aside for the kids' education, the put money into your 401k plan. All those things aren't required, but everyone knows that come April 15th, you better have that tax return ready to go, or you get a notice from the IRS and everyone's blood pressure goes up.
With the tax deadline fast approaching, you know, what are some general tips for people when they're filing their taxes?
The first thing that we do is we make sure folks gather their records, get everything together, make sure you have all of the records that support your income, deductions, or tax credits that you claim. Make sure you report all of your income, W-2, 1099, wage and tax statements, and any other income, even if you have not received a statement on that.
So there's a big tax change with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Are there a couple of examples that you could mention about changes in the average CT family that they might be looking at?
Sure. Quick follow-up to the tips for filing your taxes. Make sure that you review your return. Mistakes will slow things down, including getting your refund, and file electronically. That's the best way to make sure that everything is accurate and you don't have to rush out to the post office. Come April 17th, we have a couple extra days here in Connecticut at midnight, and have it postmarked, you file electronically. So to the tax cut, the 2017 Tax and Jobs Act that was passed at the end of last year is effective for this year. A couple examples of changes an average Connecticut family might be looking at is in February, the new tax withholding tables went into effect. The average Connecticut family, a married worker making $80,000 a year, will see about $41 more take-home pay. That they're
$41
per
more?
Paycheck.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah, it is pretty significant. Now, that does not mean necessarily that your taxes went down by $41 per paycheck, but the withholding tables to take into account the average person at these lower tax rates. So tax rates were reduced. you should see a commensurate tax savings. But again, each person's situation would need to be scrutinized individually. It is an across-the-board tax cut, but some people get more of it than others. Another thing to keep in mind, I don't know if this is particular just to Connecticut, is there's significant changes that will take effect beginning next year. Anyone who gets divorced this year is under current rules. Alimony will not be deductible or taxable come 1/1/2019. So my financial advice is if you're married, stay married. Divorces are expensive.
That's solid financial advice.
Exactly. So that's something to keep in mind if you're in a situation and it's intractable and it's going to be headed for divorce. 2018, if you get divorced in 2018, you keep the old rules. You get divorced in 2019, you're under new rules. Something else that is particular to Connecticut is there's been a change to the state and local tax deduction. State and local taxes. Your Connecticut income tax payments, when you look on your pay stub, you see a amount that's taken out for Fed and then amount that's taken out for the state of Connecticut. There's an income tax in Connecticut. That has been fully deductible on your federal return. The 2017 changes that take effect now have limited your income tax deduction, your property tax deduction on your home, on your vehicles, on your boat, whatever it is that you pay property taxes on, to a total of $10,000.
Okay.
So if you're living in a high tax area, say West Hartford, and your property taxes are $700 a month, that's $8,400 a year, and you made that $80,000 and you paid 5% in income taxes, that's another $4,000 right there. You're over the $10,000, not including your car, so you're not able to deduct what you could last year. The other thing that is changing is the standard deduction is now going to $24,000. So there's some give and take here. You're going to have to look at your itemized deductions versus your standard deductions. Another thing that can affect people in Connecticut that we see affecting folks that we work with is the mortgage interest deduction going forward. You can deduct up to $750,000 on two homes. In the past, it was $1 million of mortgage interest. Again, the regular person, this may not be something that applies, but you have a house in town, you have a house at the shore, maybe you've got something in Florida. Only two of those homes, up to $750,000 of mortgage interest can be deducted. One other thing that we're seeing to folks benefit on this is 529 college savings plans for folks who've got children and they want to save for education. Prior law was the 529 could only be used for post-secondary expenses.
Okay.
After high school. The new law now allows $10,000 per year to taken out for elementary and high school costs. So if you have I've got a son at Hall High, right next door is Northwest Catholic. If you've got a son or daughter at Northwest Catholic, you can now take $10,000 out of the 529 and pay the tuition from Northwest with that. In the past, you couldn't, and you pay no taxes on that 529 money if it's used for education.
That's great. Just gives you more options, more ways to use your money.
Yes, absolutely.
Any other examples or anything else you want to get into regarding that?
There are many. Without getting wonky here, yes, there are. If you're self-employed, there's opportunities now to have a 20% tax rate, this flow through. The intent of the, we're still trying to figure it out, and there's going to be modifications and clarifications. It was, like a lot of things in Washington, passed pretty quickly, very large tax bill. a kind of we have to pass it and then so we can find out what's in it. So there's going to be some developments as to the application. But the big picture was to lower business tax rates. Corporate rates were lowered. Again, that doesn't necessarily apply to the average person who's not running a corporation, but it also made the same sort of concession for small business people. So instead of paying a maximum rate of 39.6, which was the old top rate, if you had a business and you had this flow-through income, it was now taxed. It will now be taxed at 20%. But deciding who gets that 20% is the devil's in the details. Folks like myself, their professional services, they're not saying that they're a business that's going to qualify for that, or they might qualify for it, or if you make so much money. So there are a bunch of details, but that is one of the big changes that people can look to take advantage of, giving the same tax break to the little guy as they're giving to the big guy.
Have they ironed out most of the details as far as what businesses qualify, or you have to apply and then they say, oh, by the way, you actually don't qualify?
The CPAs, our CPA strategic partners, are advising us to wait and see right now.
Okay.
And quite frankly, there's nothing that you necessarily need to do. You get up, you go to work, you do business. How we account for it will be decided at some point between now and April of next year.
Okay. So for your clients, how are you advising them to take advantage of the new laws? Can we get into some of that?
Sure. We're advising our clients to stick with their overall financial strategy. We call it restylement. The tax tail does not wag the dog. We don't do something just to save taxes. And when you do something with the intent to save taxes, the IRS scrutinizes that more. There has to be a financial reason to do something. If it's just to save taxes, often they won't allow it. So continue with what you're currently doing. There are potential adjustments and opportunities. By and large, we are taking that wait and see for some clarification. Action right now, one of the things is there's all these unintended consequences. Anyone who has written a will that had a trust for estate planning purposes to reduce inheritance taxes, if you will, needs to review that. The state of Connecticut has a $2.65 million, I think it's going to, their estate tax exclusion. So if you have less than $2.65 million, you pay no inheritance taxes in the state of Connecticut.
Ooh,
right.
Good,
so, we're all pushing right up against that. The federal, though, doubled theirs to $11 million. So a husband and wife that was doing estate planning that had a $5 million estate, now it's $22 million. So you don't have to worry about estate taxes unless you're, $5 million's rich, $22 million super rich. So there's some unintended consequences that we're seeing on some trusts that were set up to minimize estate taxes that no longer apply, but are going to put you into a jackpot potentially with the state of Connecticut because they're not equalized. That's one place that we're looking at. The other thing is a lot of these tax cuts are not permanent. They go back to the old law in 2026. Don't ask me why it's arcane tax policy that in order to make something permanent, they would have needed to get a different legislation passed. We've had this before under W. Bush. There was tax laws that sunsetted 10 years later. And so these also, some of them sunset. one of them being these estate tax changes. So what do you do? You have to keep in mind that tax planning is not just right now what's in front of you, but what's coming down the road.
And you said some of those are up until 2026, you said?
Yes, 2026, unless they get extended, renewed, or made permanent, they will go away and go revert back to the 2017 law that this tax package replaced. One of the other things that we're suggesting folks to do is if you have a home equity line of credit,
okay,
it may make sense to begin to pay that down because the deductibility of that interest is now in question. It has to be for improvement or acquisition of the home. If you've been using a home equity line to pay for college education, to consolidate debt, and you've been deducting the interest in the past, you can't do it anymore. Also, interest rates have gone up, and just from a financial standpoint, not necessarily the tax piece, it makes sense to begin to look at perhaps paying that down as interest rates have gone up and the deductibility of that interest is now in question. What we're telling people to do is when you file your 2017 tax return, look at how much your tax liability was. There's a line on the second page, this is your total tax. Not what your refund is or what you may have to pay in if you didn't have enough withheld, but your total tax liability. Then look at your paycheck. Then look at your paycheck and see, am I on pace to cover 2017? Even though the numbers aren't going to be the same, if you at least pay in 2018 what your total tax was in 2017, you're not going to be hit with a penalty or interest, and then you can firm that up later on in the year.
And talking here with Dan Friedman, the CEO of WMGNA, that's the Wealth Management Group of North America. This is Ask the Experts. Learning a lot when it comes to taxes. I'm certainly a novice, so I'm really glad that you're here today. So let's talk about some tax preparation planning. When you refer to tax preparation and planning, what does it mean? When does it start? What does it involve? Things like that.
Sure. Tax preparation planning, the way that we address it at WMGNA, it's an ongoing organic process. It's always a work in progress. Everything that you do affects your taxes, and your taxes affect everything that you can do. So it's a jigsaw puzzle. How does this piece work? Nothing exists in a silo. If you put money into a retirement plan, a 401k, you get a tax deduction now. You don't pay taxes on that money. You can start withdrawing it after 59 and a half without a 10% penalty, but then you pay taxes later on. What Uncle Sam giveth, he's not really our uncle either, he then taketh. And so what is your tax plan now? Is it going to set you up for a larger liability if you did something different? So we're always looking at current tax liability. How do we reduce that? And what are the pieces within someone's overall financial strategy? And how is that going to affect things later on? It is in-depth tax planning, preparation, figuring out how the pieces of a client's life fit together and what the tax impact of that. One of the things that we see with folks is they think that when they drop off their tax package to their tax preparer, their CPA, whoever it is, sometime after January 31st, usually towards the end of February, hopefully not too late in March, definitely you drop it off now, the first week of April, you and 2,000 other people are having their taxes done.
Sure.
If you're thinking that your tax person, he or she, is giving you any planning work, I think you're going to be disappointed and mistaken. And quite frankly, you're paying for tax preparation and not tax planning. The time to do tax planning for 2017 is not the spring of 2018.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right. So we would say the tax planning for 2018 starts at the beginning of this year. You take a look at where you are tax-wise, what opportunities are still available to you. Say you got a bonus and you can put more into your retirement plan, and that makes sense to lower your taxes. If you have education costs that you're going to be able to credit on, take a look at that. So those are the kinds of things that we look at when it comes to tax preparation and tax planning.
And don't wait until you're right up against the deadline to do that. That makes a lot of sense.
That's right. You want to, we all know April 17th, April 15th in some other places is the tax deadline. Everyone knows that waiting to the last second is going to create problems for you in many cases.
Now, I appreciate that you mentioned that, because I know when I drop off my tax information to my accountant, I say, "Oh, my work here is done. So go make me some money."
and right, and that's the thing. If you're counting on someone to figure something out and make you money, they're just filling in the
right.
in the boxes at that point.
Sure, sure.
And making sure that the return gets to where it needs to go.
Any other mistakes that people make when they're filing taxes, aside for waiting too late or anything like that?
Yeah, yes, there are mistakes. Making math errors is one of the things that can get you into scrutiny by the IRS. And no one likes to get that notice from the IRS that the numbers don't match up to what they have, because the 3 was an 8. That's why we say file electronically. Doing it by hand, sending it in the mail is not the way that we would do it. And oops doesn't count with the IRS. They're going to say, you made a mistake, penalty, interest. So
there's no do-overs.
There's no do-overs. Failing to report some income. 1099 income often. If there's a tax document, even if you don't have it, the other party has it. The IRS also has it. So report all of your income. One of the ways that the government has caught up with bad guys is not necessary for the crimes they committed, but for the taxes that they didn't pay in the commission of such crimes.
Was Al Capone hit with tax evasion?
Exactly. Claiming too much in charitable contributions.
Okay.
Rounding numbers. How many people actually gave, you know, $500 exactly to their church or synagogue? Sometimes it's $525. You make a donation and it was $12 to this. That is going to create issues for you. And extraordinarily large charitable contributions based on your income. A $10,000 donation on a $40,000 income, IRS is going to wonder, and they're going to ask for the documentation. Prove it to us. One of the things with the IRS is you're guilty until proven innocent. You have to verify what is on that return. And if you can't, they'll disallow it, penalty, interest, and in some cases, a tax fraud charge, which could lead to, you know, going to jail. Another thing is Schedule C self-employed people taking personal expenses as business expenses. They're looking for that. Claiming a home office deduction. There's very strict rules on having a home office deduction.
Okay.
It has to be a certain amount that is used for business. Sitting in front of your 72-inch TV, watching the Red Sox win an extra innings last night, and preparing for this interview is not a home office.
So working on my fantasy baseball team is not a home office either. That's good.
No. Again, we talked about using nice, neat numbers. We want to say that one of the things that we ask is what are the chances I get audited? So I pulled up some 2017 numbers. 0.7%, so less than 1% of the returns get audited. The people that get audited the most, it's interesting, someone who reports no income. Of all the audits, 3.25% are people with no income. Then people who make over $5 million. The people who make over $5 million in income, 2.06%. I mean, 10.46%. And if you make more than $10 million, again, I don't know anyone who does, 18.79% of the audits are. So if you report no income, you're going to get scrutinized. And if you've got a ton of income, you're going to get scrutinized. Everyone else in the middle, but you never know who it's going to be.
Sure. So do it right. Don't make mistakes.
Exactly. Exactly.
And get the help you need, for
yes,
sure.
Yes.
So we're getting close to the end here. Anything else you'd want to talk about briefly?
Well, sure. You know, one of the things that we say to folks when it comes to taxes, everyone wants to pay the least amount in taxes. We quote a 1934 court case, a federal tax court case, Heverling versus Gregory, Judge Learned Hand, great name for a judge, Learned Hand, didn't make it to the Supreme Court. There was a tax case, and he said that there's not an obligation, even a patriotic interest, in paying more than is necessary. You can arrange your affairs to benefit you, not the Treasury. So we always have that mindset. With that mindset, though, there's worse things in life than making money and then having to pay taxes. So we want to balance that out. We don't want to jump through 1,000 hoops. We don't want to draw the scrutiny of the IRS to save $10.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Dan, I really appreciate you being here. I appreciate you educating me and educating the listeners. Dan Friedman, CEO of WMG&A, Wealth Management Group of North America. Get a website. Check them out.
WMGNA.com. Any questions, I can be reached at daniel@WMGNA.com.
Perfect. So, Ask the Experts. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to Dan. I'm Brian Forster. Please join me next week for more Ask the Experts right here on the Talk of Connecticut.